Welcome to the Acrylic Soul Podcast.
Acrylic Soul Podcast.
Where we shed light on dope artists.
I want to know who representing it here tonight.
We want to find out what makes them tick and provide inspiration to everyone.
You got a dream like you never seen. Obstacle.
This is the Acrylic Soul Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Lockhart Designs Presents, the Acrylic Soul Podcast. I'm your host, Billy Lockhart, and today I have a special guest. This person is the reason for my interest in art and photography. Could you please say your name?
Dominique Bowler.
Thank you. So this is my sister, just to let it be known. On the last podcast, I mentioned that she was part of the reason for me being so interested in things, just seeing how cool she made it look. I do want to put out the one update. She is not 7 years older than me. She is only merely 5.5 years older than me, which
Thank
is still
you for making that correction.
Still mighty old. So. So, in this case, what I would like for you to tell the audience here is just to give them a heads up as far as where you come from and how that has influenced you.
Okay, well, like Billy, I'm born and raised in Rochester, New York, upstate New York, Winterfell, the North Pole, and Rochester is a really interesting place, being that it has been a small center for technology and innovation since the turn of the century. So I'm not sure if a lot of your listeners know, but Kodak was started here in Rochester, New York by Mr. George Eastman, pioneer in photography as far as he didn't obviously create the photographic process, but he made it so that it was instant, available, and easy for everyone to access with his Brownie camera. That also led to amazing innovations by Bosch and Laum. Some of your listeners may know the Bosch and Laum information and name from contact lenses. And back in the day, eyewear, you know, glasses, eye care, things of that nature. They started here in Rochester, New York, too. And then Xerox started also here in Rochester, New York. So you see, the thing that links all of these together is the visual, and visual art is something that is huge here in Rochester. And at one point, because Kodak, which our parents, grandparents, and aunts and uncles worked for, was one of the major employers of folks living in Rochester. As a kid, you pretty much grew up with a camera. If it wasn't your own camera at a very young age, then there was always a camera or two in the house. So we got a chance to explore art and photography, and just the idea of pictures was very important from a very young age. We also have some amazing museums that, as kids going to the city school, you always had that annual or, you know, every 2 years you'd take a trip to the museum. And we have a fine art museum, the Memorial Art Gallery. We have a science museum, and we have the National Museum of Play, formerly known as Strawn Museum. Again, what ties all three of these things in is innovation and art. So that's kind of always been at the heart of my upbringing and my experience in the culture. We have an amazing art scene here too. So that's how I got interested in it. What led me to photography actually was the fact that I developed breast cancer in 2009. And one thing that helped me through my recovery was being able to document not only with words, but with photos, what I was going through. And then I took my camera outside, and I had a cheap camera, you know, nothing fancy, but I went to our local parks, which are beautiful, and I took pictures. And the pictures helped me expand my mind. They helped me heal. It helped me discover this creativity that I had outside of writing. And I composed a photo book and thought, wow, I could probably do this. So I did.
Was that, your light bulb moment?
That was my light bulb moment. Yeah, that was my do what you love moment, definitely. Once I was in the clear and at least like six months to a year out of remission, I decided to drop everything and go back to school for visual communications at our local community college, Monroe Community College. From there, I just absorbed everything about photography. And being that we all shared a house together, you know, I couldn't help but to kind of bring my little bro into it with me and, you know, kind of take pictures of him and my son and discuss with them in detail what I'm doing and how I'm doing it, and then show them the things that I was working on. So, yeah, that's pretty much how I got into it.
You know, it's funny you mention it, and I didn't think of it as being, you know, something different or weird, but how everyone had a camera. And, it, you know, everyone in Rochester, especially during that certain point of time with Kodak still being big and around and you know, big influence, how everyone had a camera. And not just like a normal camera. Everybody had some type of prototype from Kodak.
Oh, yeah. Everybody had a state-of-the-art, you know, Kodak either prototype. Like, these items would not be available anywhere else in the United States except for Rochester through their employees. I didn't even realize the significance of how technologically Rochester was as a city until a particular festival called Montage came through in 91, I believe. That I got a chance to work, and people literally came from all over the world to come here, listen to lectures, symposiums, seminars, and then display their art and their photography, and just their visual short films and things like that here in Rochester. And then I realized, oh my God, we're kind of important here. This is something I should probably grab onto.
Yeah. So that was definitely, I'd say that was another big influence too, is going to that Montage. I think that was in 94.
Yeah. Oh, was it in 94?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But going to that, because that I didn't get to see, you know, that was pretty avant-garde.
Oh, yeah.
As far
definitely.
As the stuff that they had and the different stations and the way everything was set up, that was really cool. That was something that you wouldn't think of being in a smaller city like Rochester.
Right.
You know, that was something I would think of being in, like, New York City. You know, yeah.
Absolutely. Also here in Rochester, and I didn't realize until that, wow, we have the Rochester Institute of Technology, which again has an amazing photography unit, a visual studies unit, a cinematic unit that goes along to it. And again, it's a globally known school, pretty prestigious. And its technology when it comes to the arts, and especially graphic design, visual design, photography, and cinema. And then here we also have the Visual Studies Workshop, which is a part of SUNY Brockport. And I went to Brockport, so, you know, shameless plug for my alma mater. But again, you have this unit downtown, extremely affordable, and they put on classes that are open to the public for a really small fee. So yeah, again, art photography is something that's almost accessible to everyone here in Rochester, whether they know it or not.
Whether they knew it or not. It's kind of like how now everyone has a camera in their pocket with their cell phone. It was
right.
Pretty much the same idea just 30 years earlier.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah.
The only thing, did anyone ever get everything developed? That's a different story altogether.
There are rolls of film and undeveloped, like, 8mm films that Dad has packed down, that our grandmother, who also worked at Kodak, has packed down somewhere that has never been developed. So, yeah. Yeah.
Mountains
absolutely.
And mountains of footage.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
So, now, next question for you is, when looking at your art and you know, the way you approach creating, what is your creative process?
My creative process first is, you know, and it's going to sound silly, but nature, going outside and finding that particular thing I want to home in on. I like going to parks. I like going outdoors. And I like to take pictures of things as they are. You know, whereas my brother Billy, he loves to play with creativity and augment some of his images. I like to give you images in black and white or very vivid color, but just here's nature as it is. And so a lot of my inspiration comes from nature. A lot of my inspiration comes from shapes and symbols. And I really like very complicated shapes, figures, shadows. I love playing around with shadows. I love playing around with black and white and the shades of gray in between. That is absolutely fun for me because I can have so many different variations of possibly the same image. But when you're taking a look at the light, the contrast, and things like that, you can get a completely different vibe. So yeah, that's where I get my inspiration from.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, who or what would you say are like some of your influences?
Oh, man. So, as far as outdoors, I feel like Ansel Adams is one. I have, and I don't know if I've shown you, but I have this tiny little book that I picked up at like a secondhand bookstore, and it's like nearly 400 pages of his black and white from the National Park Service. Absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning. If ever I'm looking for inspiration of how to film something or what to look at, you know, he's taken pictures of rocks and made them look absolutely magnificent. You know, so
yeah.
I love that. Gordon Parks, when it comes to street photography, which I love street photography when the cops can't get me. you know, a little bit of a paparazzi, but street photography is some of the most moving photography that you'll ever come across because you're encountering everyday people in everyday life. They are not posed. They are completely natural and in their element. And you take this picture and they don't even realize sometimes that you're taking the picture. And you've captured this beautiful moment of humanity. Humans of New York, if your listeners are familiar with that on Facebook, they'll know what I'm talking about. You know, this person goes around the world, not just New York City, but takes these really lovely candid pictures. Now, my photos don't have stories to go along with them, but it's nice because you can think of a story that would go along with the picture of the person who's in it, enjoying nature or wiping their eyes, or a mom, you know, holding hands with her child as they're walking. And he did a lot of that with his Harlem pictures. A lot of the pictures from the 1930s, when they sent the WPA out to take pictures of the progress of Roosevelt's New Deal and all of his different programs. And so the WPA went nationwide. I think there was like a bunch of different photographers who got famous because of this. They went through the United States and they just captured on camera what America looked like at that time. And Gordon Parks was one of these photographers traveling everywhere just to take pictures of normal, ordinary people. So my strongest influences come from those two people. Eve Arnold is another person who did pictures in the 50s and 60s. Her pictures are interesting because they're these one-on-one, very personal portraits of people who are different. Look a little bit weird, maybe misshapen, maybe mentally challenged. But he took a moment to capture them, and not in a way that makes fun of them, but in a way that shows you, that gives those people a voice, that gives them, you know, an outlet that says, these are these people. They exist. They are here. And through looking at some of the pictures, at first they're a little disturbing because we're not used to that. You know, we're not used to looking at something different for a long time and putting it together. You're told not to stare, you know, things like that. And looking through her pictures, it gives you a moment to stare. It gives you a moment to understand who this person is. You know, it'll just say, you know, Sam, you know, at the barbershop, or Sam holding hands with his girlfriend. And you can use your imagination, maybe your heart, maybe your compassion, to try to understand what this person's little slice of life is. And so she's a huge influence on me, too.
That is cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I find that I gravitate towards the street photography.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I like the raw, like the kind of the rawest available, you know, so the Dickensian aspect, to say.
The urban Dickensian aspect.
The urban, yeah. Dickensian. So, but yeah. just being able to see something that, you know, kind of as, you know, we grew up, just reminds me of something that I'd see on the block.
Right.
But, you know, you don't normally see it in a frame.
Right.
And that's kind of where I would start playing with the colors and the contrast and, like, could I make this look even more raw? So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, generally when I see something like that, that's the type of stuff that I gravitate towards.
Yeah. I think that's the thing that I find intriguing about your images. Because, and I think we did this with, you know, just not meaning to, but I took a picture of my cat, Luna, and I thought it was a beautiful picture. You know, she was a kitten, very perky. It just captured that kitten age, you know. I sent it to my brother, and he did this magnificent picture of her that looked like she was being encompassed by the galaxy. You know, and I thought, wow, I would never have thought to take a picture of her and apply that to it. But it worked. It wasn't over the top. It wasn't silly. It worked, you know. And I got, like, a lot of compliments from that, actually. So kudos to you.
There's a cat in space. but it wasn't it was, Philly.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
you know that what that means, right?
What's that?
Like Captain Captain Marvel.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Oh yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's
nothing silly about that cat. That cat was dangerous.
The cat was serious. The cat probably would take out Samuel L. Jackson.
You know, well, he took out his eye, so.
It took out his eye.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
sorry, yeah. Spoiler for those of you who have not seen Captain Marvel. We are both very big Marvel fans. I don't know if Philly likes to refer to himself as a geek, but I am a comic book geek. So, yeah.
If they haven't seen it yet, they should have seen it. So it's their fault.
The thoughts
and expressions brought to you today do by no means reflect upon my guests.
No, not at all.
Now, I could talk to you for hours, but the last question I have for you now is, what would you like to shed light on or shamelessly promote? It doesn't have to be anything directly that you're selling, even if it's something cool that you found. What would you like to shed light on?
There are a few things, if you'll allow me, that I would like to shamelessly plug. The first being my brother's work. Any of the blogs, the videos, and this podcast. Follow this podcast. He is an artist in every sense of the word. Music, especially the history of hip-hop, and his take on a lot of things that have happened. His art that sometimes crosses over into the hip-hop culture and mainstream. And underground, and his thought process behind his images. Amazing, great work. Proud to call this man my brother. Obviously, he learned it all from me.
a shameless plug within a shameless plug.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no better way to go.
No better way to go. The second thing I would like to plug is wherever you are, check out your local art. I know across the country there is, if you don't already know about it, there is a movement called First Friday. The first Friday of every month in most major and mid-level cities have some particular type of either free or very, very low fee event going on in the art world. It's not always high art. Sometimes it's avant-garde. Sometimes it's photography. Sometimes it's sculpture. Sometimes it's painting. There are so many different things going on in many cities folks are not aware of. Promote that. Go to that. Support your local artists and your local workshops and art centers and museums so that you can also broaden your mind, maybe even plug into your local art scene. You never know what could happen. Lastly, I would like to put a shameless plug out there for the Lupus Foundation of America and the breast cancer coalitions around the United States. Lupus is a autoimmune disease that most people have never heard of, but unfortunately the folks who are affected by this particular disease die at alarming rates because of the lack of knowledge. So yeah, check those folks out. Even if you have never heard of it before, maybe you know of someone who is suffering from that disease and you never really knew what it was about. Talk to them. Those people need your support, as well as breast cancer. It's something that has really claimed a lot of lives of men and women. in this nation, and those people need your support as well. So yeah, those are the things I want to shamelessly plug today.
All right. Well, once again, I'd like to thank you for being part of this podcast, especially in the earlier foundational time frame. It's going to get a lot harder to be part of it, so good thing there's nepotism. Oh, yeah. You can come back at any time.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. And I'd like to thank everybody for listening, and keep an eye out for the next episode. Don't forget to subscribe. Have a great day.